want to preach on two aspects, an Old Testament precept and a New Testament pattern. Amen? And I just want to give you that. There's a precept even in the Old Testament about what faith promise for missions is. A lot of people don't grasp it. They think, well, we'll just give them some money and send some missionaries. No, it's not just that. It's not just that. It's not just throwing some money in a plate and going on about your business. The point of faith promise has a real important point in it. And so if you will, just look at it tonight. I want to go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, this is one of the greatest passages in the Old Testament, one of the greatest passages in the Bible about understanding why you give. Amen. How you give, how you come about giving. And we need to get a hold of that. Amen. So we'll stand tonight and look at it with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And if anybody here is a student of the Bible at all, know that I'm going to be preaching about Hannah and about Samuel and about her situation there. So look at it with me, verse number 27. The Bible said, "For this child I prayed, the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Amen. If you can turn me down just a little bit, Miss Freeman, because I don't want to blow everybody out. But I want to preach tonight on an Old Testament precept and New Testament pattern. Amen. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've given us tonight. Thank you for allowing us to talk to the Gordon family. Brother David and Brother Matt, and Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them. May we be of some encouragement to them. Lord, I pray that you would increase our coast. Lord, we'll be able to give more and help them out more. Lord, they're together. They're having home together. They're having church together in that house. And Lord, no doubt it gets tight. No doubt the bills are expensive. Lord, gas prices as high as they are there. And Lord, many times we complain about what we have, and then we understand that so many others are paying larger prices, harder prices, and Lord, in foreign lands and foreign places. God, I pray that you'd reset our thoughts and our mind. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight get a hold of what giving to missions is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated tonight. I hope we answer some of your questions tonight with Brother Gordon. The more you sit there, the more you'll sit there later and say, "I wish I'd asked this," or "I wish I'd asked that." It's always that way. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like the technical problems, but I do like speaking to them. Amen. But if you look at it with me, let's look at some things about what it means to make a faith promise is. The Bible says, of course, we know the passage, the story about Hannah, but first of all, we see him making a request to God. The Bible says in verse number 27, "For this child I prayed. For this child I prayed." If you look at verse number 1, chapter 1, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord, Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child." Now notice when she prayed, before we get to verse number 27, she asked for a child. She wasn't able to have a child. She asked for a child that she didn't have. But she was very specific when she asked for a child. She didn't just say, "God, give me a child now, whether it's a man child or a girl." She was very specific. "God, give me a man child." She wanted one that would continue the family, bring the family name, and could be used in that time in the ministry. And so here she was asking for someone very particular in her prayer. She wasn't, you know, a lot of time we go to pray and we just ask God sort of in a big, long, hazy way. And God doesn't want us to pray that way. He wants to be very particular about what we're praying for. The second thing I find out is she had prayed purposely. Notice what it says. "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Now the Bible says not only does she ask particularly, but she asks purposely. She didn't ask for a female. The reason is a female couldn't be in the priesthood. And so she asked particularly, but she asked purposely, "Give me a man child that I can give back to the Lord, give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." And then it was a very peculiar prayer. And she said, "Then there shall no razor come upon his head." She said, he's going to be a Nazarite. And he's going to be a separated type of child. And then it was a persistent prayer. The Bible says in verse 12, "And it came to pass as she continued praying for the Lord, before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And so she just continues praying. It doesn't matter who walks up and what they think and what their attitude is or what their background is. She don't care. She is praying something very particularly, very purposely, very, very peculiar type of prayer. And she is persistent in her prayer that she wants something to happen. And then you'll find out in verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. He didn't understand what was going on. But the Bible says she had a private prayer, that she wasn't praying to be heard or be seen or that everybody else could figure out what she was going. It was between her and the Lord. She was asking something for specifically. She's asking something peculiarly. She wanted something that was different, and it was private between her and the Lord. So number one, we see that she made a request to God and God only. That's who she was depending upon. Number two, the Bible says in verses number 5 through verse number 18, the verse number 5 says, but unto Hannah he gave only a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now the arm of flesh had failed Hannah. The ability to produce a child through fleshly means was impossible. It had not happened. It had failed her. And so her husband loved her, but he could not give her a child because the Lord had shut up her womb. It was impossible for that to happen. Number two, not only does the arm of flesh fail her, but notice what it says in verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Amen. And so we see that. I'm afraid y'all are looking at this. That's going to bother me too much tonight. Amen. There we go. Amen. I feel like I'm getting blue screen behind me. Amen. So the second thing is, we see not only do we have the arm of flesh, but we see that the aim was to make her fret. The flesh, the enemy was telling her to fret over what she couldn't have. It says, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so now the enemy's coming up and he's fighting against her and the enemy's fighting against her and telling her that she can't have it. Amen. So it's making her fret. And then notice verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She began to pray to him like a child does her father. She went to him and said, like an Abba-Father relationship, Lord, I need this thing. I want this thing. I desire this thing in my life. And I'm going to come to you as a father does his child. So that's how she approached God. Verse number 17, the same chapter, look at it. Verse number 17 says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And so we see an abiding faith in her. God granted that. She left that place believing that God was going to provide what she had prayed for. And so we see her making requests to God, and now she is completely relying upon God. She's not relying on the arm of flesh. She's not worried about what the enemy's trying to make her fret about. She just come before her father. She's made the request. She's asked for him to give it to her. Now the answer's come back that he's going to give it to her. And she leaves without any low thought whatsoever, goes back home with a skip in her feet and a smile on her face, thinking, God's going to do this thing. Amen. Do you agree with me? Now look at verse number 19. In verse number 19, we see her beginning to receive an answer from God. Hey, not only has she been requesting God, relying on God, but now she's going to receive the answer from God. The Bible says in verse 19, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Amen. It didn't stop her. She ain't got a child yet, but she didn't bother her from worshiping. Amen. And worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house. To Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Amen. The Lord remembered her. Amen. It didn't, listen, it was good to have a relationship with the flesh, good husband and wife relationship, but it was the Lord that had to open the womb up. It's the Lord that had to have that baby be birthed in that womb. Amen. And so we see God remembering her, and then God rewarding her in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And so we see God's reward. She got her request, and because of that, she named him that. Boy, I've got a request from God. God's given me him. I'm going to name him Samuel, a gift of God. I'm going to name him somebody because that's who God's given me. And so we see her receiving an answer from God, receiving what she'd asked for. Now, verse number 21 through verse 28, we see the returning back to God what she'd been given. In verse number 21, the Bible said, "In the mount Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her," listen to what he says, "Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word." Let God establish his word in you. And so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, and by the way, that's about 2 years of age. And when she had weaned him, she took him up in her, with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Now notice, there has to be a coming a time when you quit nursing the thing that God's given you. There has to be a time when the things that God has given you, you quit nursing them and keeping them for yourself, but now it's time to return it back to God. Amen. There are times when we got to appreciate what God's given us. And there's a lot of people will stand up and say, boy, God's blessed me with something. Amen. But there comes to be a time when that child matures and that gift matures, and it's time to take that mature gift and turn around and give it back to God. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of spiritual hobos. Amen. She got a request, but she prayed. She prayed and made a vow unto God. She trained him up the right way. At about 2 years of age, think about that, she starts bringing him back to the house of God. She don't bring him back all sad face and drop down her head not wanting to do it. No, she brings him back what? With that bottle of wine for an incense offering. She brings him back with that bullock for a sacrifice, and she takes him to the house of God. And so the nursing has stopped, and now it's time to give back to God the blessing, some part of the blessing that he's given her. Now look at verse number 25. "And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed." Now she's very plain about this. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Now notice her statement. She said, "I'm going to lend him back to the Lord as long as he liveth." How long is she lending him? Forever. As long as he lives. Amen. He's going to be his. I know that it's mine, but I'm giving it back to the Lord because the Lord's given it to me. And now I'm going to keep my vow and I'm going to give him back forever. Now here I want to ask you something. Here is a Old Testament here's an Old Testament precept on giving something to God. How do you get to that point? Number one, you got to request God for it. Number two, you have to rely upon God to give it. Number three, you have to receive it from God when he gives it. And number four, you got to return it back to God when it's time to give it back. You say, well, what does that mean, preacher? Did not she have to sacrifice? Yeah. But listen, I'm going to ask you this. On faith, promise, permission given. If you could sacrifice and give something to missions, and God would raise up a Samuel out of your giving, would you be willing to give? If God could take what he gives to you and allow you to give it back to him, and he raise up a Samuel, would that be okay? Would you be willing to give up a baby for a prophet? Would you be willing to give a little so God can do a great deal? Amen. That's the precept of giving. You ask God for it. You mean business. You get on your knees and say, Lord, I'd like to give something to Faith Promise for Missions. I'd like to support a missionary. I'd like to help put a missionary on the field. I'd like to raise the amount that we support our missions. And I'm going to pray for it. And God, I'm going to expect it from you. Because I believe you want us to give more to missions too. How many believe that? How many believe God really wants to get more missions on the field? Listen, we're in the last days. There ain't no way you're going to go to heaven and face God and say, God's going to tell you, well, y'all sent way too many missionaries. Last thing he said when he sinned, he said, go ye. Amen. So I believe he wants them there. I believe they need some more support. At $5 or something dollars a gallon, we think we're suffering. I mean, fill up my tank, I don't know about you, it cost me about $50, $55 my tank, my size tank in my car. Some of you may have bigger, smaller. About $55, fill up, $55, $60, fill up my tank. Brother Gordon's over there paying $90. I mean, and he's on the mission field. This is the person that we want to get out on the roads, on the doors, to knock on. I mean, it takes a lot of money. So what do we need to do? We need to be very specific to God. We don't need to say, well, God, I hope you do. No, y'all say pray. Y'all pray God. Say, God, I'd like for you to be able to make it a building that we'd be able to raise our missions by soldiering money. Tell me which way I need to go. Supply to my needs so I can give them the missions. And then when you get off your knees, you say, now, God, I'm going to expect it. I'm going to smile. When you send it, I'm going to expect it. I remember my mom telling years ago about the man that went to, and she was there, said they went to the prayer meeting and been drowned in the town, and she said, they went to prayer meeting, he's going to pray for rain, and one man walked in with an umbrella. One. Said all of them laughed at him and said, man, what you doing? He said, I come to pray for rain! And I'm expecting it. And she told me this story. She said, when they finished the prayer meeting, a downfall came, and he was the only one with an umbrella to walk home. I'm afraid a lot of times we go and look on the horizon, and we don't see no cloud, and we just give up on God. There's two ways to give. You give out of sacrificial, and you give out of abundance. Well, if I'm give, I'll give more than anybody else. That's the problem. Everybody's worried about what everybody else is giving instead of praying to God what he wants me to give, how he wants me to give. I want to ask you the thing. Would you be willing to give up a baby if God can grant you a Samuel? Would you be able to give a little if God could do something and put missionaries like this on the field and encourage them and increase their heart? Man, I don't know about y'all, but when Miss Gordon started to weep, just because we stood up and said, we love you. We couldn't ask for no more caliber of people to be on the field. When I talked to Brother Toby, we had an email back and forth, and he tells me, and I asked Brother Elijah, I said, Brother Elijah, I want you to read his blogs. I want you to understand what's going on. They're having to be underground. I mean, listen, it's dangerous for them to be on the street. And they said the other day, for the first time, they got in the street area, had their church out there, and the glass is there, and people are looking, trying to figure out what is going on. And he said, I was scared to death. Isn't that what he said? He said, I was scared. But it didn't stop him. Sometimes it gets scary on mission fields. Not everything's easy. Not everything's smooth and easy and non-expensive. I mean, by the way, not all some churches have been blessed. We've had some lose their jobs, but we've had much keep their jobs. I've talked to preachers all over the place where, I mean, 30 and 40% of their people in their church lost their jobs. We've had one or two and God supplied. Church, I'm telling you, if I could give up a child, if I could give up a baby's worth of offering and get a Samuel's worth of, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. If God would grant us Samuel's on the field, it'd be worth giving. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody doesn't want any Samuel's on the field? I was talking to Brother Gordon the other day. It was a lot choppy there. Couldn't talk to everything. But he told me the other day, he said, preacher, we don't have our building that we was in before. The man shut down the building and we didn't have a building. So we've been having to have church in our home. He didn't argue about it. He just said, that's the condition. Pray for us that we'll be able to get a building. It does make a difference. You don't worship the building, but it is a good thing to have. Amen. Would anybody agree? Everybody like having a place to come to church? Well, guess what? In Canada, they do too. He told me, he said, well, we went down the road there day and it snowed real big and said, Matt and the boys got out and the girls got out and cleaned out the drive. They got to clean the drive out all the time. I mean, you know, they get a lot of snow. They got to keep on top of it, keep it shoveled out. So when they finished, they looked across the road and they knew their neighbor. And I think they're Catholic or whatever, a lot of Catholic there. And said they knew, looked at their drive. They knew that the wife had something had happened. They'd went to the hospital. So when they finished, they walked across the street and just being hospitable, they cleaned up their drive. And said the man and wife, when they was coming home from the hospital, they got talking about it and said, honey, we ain't going to be able to get our house. We're not going to be able to get in our house when we get there. We're going to get our, and she was, the wife was unable to do much of anything. And the husband's going out there. We can get home at nighttime and shovel out the drive just so they could get up and drive so he'd get his wife in the house, bring her home from the hospital. Well, guess what? That night didn't have to shovel the drive. He told Brother Matt, they told Brother Gordon, he come over to Brother Gordon, he said, Brother Gordon, he said, I don't know everything about you, but there's something different about you Baptists. He said, I lived in one town before, and they were like, treating me the same way y'all do. He said, I don't understand everything about you, but there's something different about you Baptists. Hey. Tell you right now, I'd be willing to give up a child if I could get a Samuel. So that's the first challenge. Precept of giving. Giving the small that you can so you can reap something great in the future. Amen? Now I'll give you the New Testament plan. There's a plan in the New Testament for giving to missions. Have your Bible tonight. It's laid out in several scriptures, but I won't give them to you tonight. I want you to get in your heart. I want it to be more than how much money am I going to give. I want you to get it in your heart. That's what missions has to be. It has to be in your heart. Mark chapter number 16. Here's the principles of faith, promise, forgiven. You will know this tonight. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We see the commission. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Here it is. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We see a sovereign command and we see a saint's commission. God said, go, and they were to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That is absolutely the Great Commission. Amen. Would y'all agree with that? Amen. That is the Great Commission. Now, what is the point of the Great Commission? Well, let's turn over Romans. Romans chapter number 10. You know the scripture. But look at, we're going to put it all together tonight. Amen. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Well, we got to get them there. We got to get them on the field. The Bible said that you got a commission. Why do you want to commit it? Why do you want to do this? Well, what's verse 13 say? You know it. What does it say? The Bible says, for whosoever, come on church, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who can be saved? Y'all, are we whosoever? Do we believe in whosoever? Amen. Red and white, black and white. Don't make no difference, does it? Anybody can be saved. You believe that? Is anybody here don't believe that? All right. Number one, who can be saved? Number two, how are they saved? Verse number 14. How then shall they call upon him and whom they have not believed? How do you get saved? You believe. It's just that simple. It's that simple. You believe. Do you remember the night you got saved? You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You called upon him. You got saved. That's simple enough, ain't it? Number three, look on with me in verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, wait a minute. If they're going to, how are they going, we need to get them saved, and they got to believe to get saved, then how are they going to believe to get saved? Well, how shall they believe with him they have not heard? Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I mean, how's the light going to shine on them? They got to be told. Somebody's, they got to hear it. Faith come by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Isn't that simple enough? Y'all there with me tonight? All right, now watch this. How's it going to be shared? How are we going to get them there? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Pretty simple there, isn't it? How shall they hear without a preacher? And the Bible says in verse 15, and how shall they preach? Say it with me. Except they be what? Sent. You know who sends them? Church sends them out. God used the local church, calls men and women, girls fall in behind their husbands, amen. Calls them to mission fields, and church sends them. What do? Open up back doors and say, have at it. Oh no, there's a better plan than that, isn't there? Amen. Y'all with me? You say, preacher, we all know this. Let's just get it all good and down settled. Hey, the Bible says, Then who can be saved? Well, I believe whosoever can. How shall they be saved? Well, they got to call on him. How shall they call on him? They got to believe. How are they going to believe? They got to hear. How are they going to hear? Got to have a preacher. How are you going to have a preacher? You got to send them. Well, Ty, that's missions. That's as fundamental missions you can get. And so we see the conversion, the purpose of the Great Commission is to send folks that they might get, that might have a preacher, that they might hear, that they might believe, that they might call upon, that they might get saved. Amen. That's the whole purpose. And it's just so simple. Oh, preacher, we know that. But do we really think about it? Number three. So we need to send them. Well, if we send them, we already said we ain't going to just open up the back doors and kick them out, are we? We ain't going to say, just God be with you. No, no, that won't work. What are we going to do? We're going to take up a collection, aren't we? Did you agree? Now you with? I didn't lose you, did I? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. How are we going to take a collection up? How do we do this mission thing? How do we get missionaries? How are we going to do this? Well, the Bible's got a plan. This is the reason I fell in love with Faith Promise for Mission. It is a biblical plan, and it works. I've seen it every other way. I've seen it come out and try to take out the tithe and the budget of the church. It don't work that way. You know why? God didn't call it to be that way. Perfect plan is laid out in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Look at it with me. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. What's a collection? It's an offering. Here's an offering. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So it is an obligation. As I have given order to... He said, what I've told them, you do. Amen. Here's the order. Upon the first day of the week. Anybody want to know what that is? What day is that? Thank you. Amen. Boy, y'all with me tonight. Amen. It's tight. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Let everybody be involved. Oh, mission's not my job. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're one of us, you are. Oh, yeah. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Set something aside for that first Sunday. How often the first Sunday come? Every week. Thank you. Amen. Every week. Set aside. Oh, I just like to give mine once a month. You can do that, but that's not the biblical way. You preacher, I don't understand. I don't get but paid once a month. Lay in store for every week. Why you do that for? Two reasons. Number one, God said so. That's enough right there. Amen. That's really enough. Number two, it keeps it on your mind and on your heart. And by the way, I'll give you a third reason. It trains up other people how to give. You know why I quit taking years ago? We used to take, I'm going to tell you, God showed me something on this, and I believe honest truth. And I'm not throwing rocks. Years ago, we used to take up our offerings in Sunday school. Y'all remember doing that? Now, some of you weren't here when we changed. Do you know why we changed? Because of nobody else. You didn't train visitors and you didn't train new ones in the church how to give. We took up an offering. They would come out in church service. We didn't take up an offering. Nobody's giving their offering because they already get their tithes and offerings in the Sunday school class. And so we're going to quit that. We're going to bring it out in service. And we're going to train people how to give their offering. They see you doing it. I mean, they know the money's coming in, but when is it coming in? Amen. And so you train people. You know how you got trained? Somebody had to show you? All right, y'all still with me? So it is an offering. It is an obligation. There's an order to it, how you ought to do it. Now look at this. As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. It's an open hand kind of offering. It's not me going up and saying, now everybody's to give $5 or $1 or $10 or $50 or $80 or $90. As you've been prospered, that's what you're to give. It's an open-handed type of offering. It's a faith promise. Not a pledge. It's not your tithes. It's a faith giving. Amen? Tithes are easy. 10% off top. easy. Anybody disagree with that? 10%? Off the top. Not off the net, off the gross. Not give God what's first, not what's left. Amen? That's tithing. And then there's giving. That's where you just throw some extra in the off plate. Just throw some extra in the off plate. And then there's alms. And then there's faith promise. By faith, saying, I'm going to give on the first day of the week. I'm going to lay aside. And I'm going to take up these offerings. And this offering here was a collection for the saints. A collection for the saints. Amen. Now, we're not taking up offerings on Sunday morning for us, are we? Now, who could that be, Brother Ty? Who only could that be for? Missions. Outreach of the church to help some other saint. Y'all with me? That's Bible. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I'll give you the commitment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm telling you, y'all, I didn't fall off the pumpkin wagon yesterday. It looks like it sometimes. I know I'm ignorant. There be. I know you look at me, but I'm wholeheartedly, I believe in this faith promise for missions. I believe it with all my heart. And by the way, I don't believe you're a New Testament church if you don't support missions. And some of you, how many was here when I first started pastoring? Amen. Appreciate it. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just a few. Just a few, a little handful. And if you'll go back, you'll remember when I first started pastoring. I started pastoring, and I've been pastoring here 16 years next week. Amen. Now, I was supplying then. Now, think about this. Here I was, supply pastor at a church that had 5 people, 8 with me, my wife, and daughter. And 2 months in, Brother Tony, here's what I told the church. And they'd already told me, he said, we can't even afford to pay you. We got the bills. And is that right? And I told him, I said, if we're a New Testament church, we're going to support missions. Anybody remember that day? Did anybody remember how everybody turned their head and looked at me like this? Said, preacher, how in the world are we going to support missions? We got so many bills on us, can't understand it. We just living from week to week. We had a lot of bills on us. We was left with a small number, a lot of bills on us. And I said, we're going to do it through faith, promise, for missions. Amen. We're going to collect for the saints. Because a New Testament church is going to support missions. Don't say something here. You say, preacher, do you really believe missions? I give to missions before I ever got one blessing of any of this church. Give me a dollar. Are you hearing me? Before a church ever paid me $1, we were already supporting missions, Brother Tony. Now, I've had some preachers tell me you ought to drop missionaries so the church can take you full time. I can't see it, and I'm not going to do it. Lord willing, I'm not going to go that route. Y'all pray for me. Here's the commitment. Chapter 8, verse 1. Number 1, we ought to get acquainted with grace. If we're going to be committed to faith, promise, or mission, we ought to get acquainted with grace. Look what it says. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit. We want to remind you. We want you to get acquainted with of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We want you to get a hold of it and to be acquainted with the grace that was given to the Macedonia churches. Now, what did they do? They got acquainted with going beyond faith. Not just believing that God would, but stepping out on faith and doing it. Going beyond in faith. Excuse me, not with, beyond faith. Beyond in faith. Look at verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were acquainted, he said, get acquainted with the fact that this church was suffering and going through a great trial, and yet they took up an offering and prayed for us to take it back to Jerusalem. Because the church in Jerusalem is under much persecution. He said, I want you to get acquainted with something. Number one, I want you to get acquainted with the grace of God. What's grace? Grace when God gives us what we do not deserve. He said, I want you to get acquainted with going beyond in faith. Going beyond what you think you can do. Number 3, I want you to get acquainted with giving. Look what he says, verse 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves first, and then they gave settled. Look at what it says in verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He said, listen, we want you to abound. Don't just abound in knowledge and don't abound in giving. Don't just abound in love. Don't just abound in faith. If you're going to abound, you abound in everything and you abound in giving too. He put it all on the same level, Brother Tony. He said, all ought to be on the same level. You ought to abound just as much in giving as you do everything. Oh, preacher, I tell you one thing. I love my church. Well, you ought to give through your local church. Oh, preacher, I love my Bible. Then upon the principles that I've given you tonight, you ought to learn how to give. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:7. I'm done. I love this verse. A lot of people don't love this verse, but I love this verse. I love this verse. Individually, every man, internally, according to his as he has purpose in his heart, inexpensive, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. Here's what your giving ought to be like. It ought to be non-expensive. You say, preacher, you tell us not to give anything or not give anything? No, no. I'm saying when you give, it ought to be the cheapest thing you do. What I mean? Two ways. He said, not grudgingly. That means don't fret about it. And not of necessity. You ought not to be forced about it. That's the reason I said, I'm not going to take your names down and come out and say, Brother Freeman, you ain't paid your missions. Because then you're going to feel like you have to. Not grudgingly, not fretting about it. Oh, I hope they use it right. I hope our missionaries do right with it. Oh, I hope. Come on, church. Why don't we trust God a little bit with some missionaries? Listen, if they go wrong, don't you think God will handle that? My goodness, we got a church, we got a family up there stuck in a small house with a whole family still carrying on church. You got a missionary in China, down in China, putting his life on the line. We got one in Morocco putting his life on the line. We got Brother Eden, 40-something years on the mission field. 37, 40-something years on the mission field. Gave his whole life in Turkey. Listen, I don't think we've got to worry about who we're giving our money to. That's the least thing. You know what my biggest concern? Are we getting enough there? It's inexpensive. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And y'all know what I've said about that cheerful. It means to jump up and spin around. God loves it when he looks down at a giver and they say, woo! Boy, I'm glad I get to get some money. I'm glad we get to send missionaries. I'm glad that I can give up a child so we can have a Samuel. So we can have a Samuel. This week when you take your little car, take these little cars that we got, you go home on that one side, it says, putting a face on missions. We have seen some missions this month. I know it's been scattered, and I know my technology's not good, but I'm trying my best to get some faces in front of us. My goodness, if you watch Wednesday night service and it get moved by those young folks giving their testimony, I don't know what would move you. By the way, Brother Matt's son is, no, if you didn't notice, but he's in a wheelchair up there too. Very serious sickness. They went. It'd probably be much easier to get better doctors in the U.S., probably easier to go down to the hospital in the U.S., probably all the insurance easier in the U.S., all that's easier. But he got his family, and they went to Canada. So personally, every extra dollar that we got, we ought to spit around and say, thank God that I can give a child and look for a savior. That's what faith promise for missions is. It's getting in the pattern of Hannah. Amen. And then get under the plan of the New Testament. Now the pattern of expecting and on their plan of submission. And then let God raise Samuel. Y'all got that tonight? I didn't lose you on giving, did I? I mean, he said, let this grace abound also. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's all stand tonight. Here's what I want you to do. Like for everyone, if they would, take a card. Everyone, if it would. In fact, we'll make it. How many's got a card already? Anybody pick one up already? Amen. Elijah, take these and pass them out. At least one per family. Amen. If we run out, I'll get some more. One per family. If somebody in the family wants to give extra or something like that, that's fine. One per family. If you notice, all it has is two things on it. It's got a picture on the front. Put a facial mission on the back. It's my weekly. Let me say that. Don't put down monthly. My weekly faith promise for missions. Next Sunday, we're going to take that up. And according to how God blesses, that's what we'll be able to do with missions this year. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to be willing to give up a child. Give a little bit. Stretch it out a little bit. That we might have a Samuel. I don't have any questions but that we got good missionaries on the field. I don't have any question. But I'll tell you this, it's costing more to be on the field than it ever has. It's costing more than it ever has. It's more dangerous. And it's costing physically, financially, it's wearing and tearing on them. Everything that's hitting your family is hitting theirs. That's what I'm saying. And listen, I'm not asking for Brother Tony to support every missionary we got by himself. That's the wonderful thing about it. Everybody puts together. That not any one person's got more load than the other. If everybody just take a step of faith out, one step of faith, you'd be amazed what could happen. You'd be amazed. Amen. But Elijah dismisses, please.